Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hi, this is George Stevens, Jr. You're listening to TV Confidential with Ed Robertson, who's such a great interviewer.
Well, I thank you very much. Ed Robertson, welcome you back to TV Confidential, radio talk show about television that is happy to welcome Ms. Concetta Tomei. Concetta Tomei, the actress most you know for her work in television, including starring roles in the critically acclaimed series China Beach and Providence, as well as guest roles on such shows as Star Trek Voyager, many of the series produced by David E. Kelly, including Picket Fences and L.A. Law, and most recently, the Pure Flix series, Going Home. Concetta Tomei also has an extensive stage career, including starring opposite David Bowie in the Broadway production of The Elephant Man, as well as starring alongside Oscar winner Kevin Kline and Jennifer Garner in the Broadway production of Cyrano de Bergerac. And we're very, very happy that Concetta is spending some time to talk to us today. We began our conversation by telling Concetta, one of the fun things I like about doing this program is learning things about the guests. And there are a couple of things I learned about. We actually have a couple of people in common in addition to James and in addition to Lori.
Oh, okay, Lori Towers.
Yes.
Sweetheart.
Yes.
Yeah, I call her my duck doll. And you know why? Because I saw on the waterfront and I thought, gosh, you know, she could have been one of those guys working on the waterfront with Brando. She's a great-hearted person, and she's a Renaissance woman as well. There's nothing this woman cannot do.
Absolutely.
But I always call her my dock doll, because every time I saw her on the waterfront, I thought, oh, my God, she could be on the docks with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a man's woman and a woman's woman.
Yes, and she is no pushover, and she's the type of person you want in your corner.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's a black belt. You really want her supporter. God bless her.
Well, we're going to jump around, but as long as we're talking about people we have in common. Now, I will admit that these are more like 6 degree of separation connections.
Oh, okay.
But once upon a time, you worked with the great stage actress Marion Seldes.
Oh, I certainly did.
In Richard III. Once upon a time, her brother Tim was my literary agent.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Isn't that wild?
Yep.
Yes. 6 degrees of separation, indeed.
Yes. And along the same lines, you worked with Kevin Kline many, many times.
Yes. Been lucky for me.
Mm-hmm. In my previous career, I was a legal assistant for the city and county of San Francisco, and I did not know him well, but his brother, Alex, was one of my coworkers.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Isn't that interesting? I didn't even know he had a brother. I met his mom and dad. Years ago when we were doing Richard III, but I didn't know he had a brother.
Yeah, well, the fun thing about this show is that I learn things and sometimes the guest learns things.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I always learn something when I'm being interviewed. Always learn something.
The other thing, this is also cool, and this segs very much into your work as a stage actress. I understand that one of the companies that you starred in, particularly in the early stages of your career, you did productions for ACT in San Francisco, the American Conservatory.
Oh, I certainly did, yes. I did Mrs. Warren's Profession, G.B. Shaw. I mean, what a great writer he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did Mrs. Warren's Profession, and I played Mrs. Warren. And at ACT, what a gorgeous theater that is. Is that still up and running?
I believe it is. I've not been in the downtown San Francisco area in a while, but I believe it is. I bring it up because I went to grammar school in the 70s, and back then there was money in the budget to take the entire seventh grade, or in some cases they would take the entire sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade once or twice a year to ACT.
How fabulous, Ed. What a great experience for young kids.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, that was like my first experience with the stage, and that doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's interesting you should say that, because my first career was an educator. I went to the University of Wisconsin at Madison and got my degree in education, grades 1 through 8, and my minor in communications. So I taught for 4 years in Wisconsin, 7th and 8th grade English and social studies. And I always tried to bring the world, that teaching world, the drama world, mm-hmm. into the theater world, because I always loved theater and I thought it was a great message and to teach kids and whatever. And so I directed The Wizard of Oz with 75 seventh and eighth graders. Oh, try that one out. But no, I think that was a wonderful thing that you could do, that your teacher was that far advanced bringing you to ACT. What a great venue. You know, I mean, talk about widening your eyes and your senses and your ears and all sorts of those things in the world of theater. What a great idea she had.
I have a sister up in San Francisco. She, up until last year, she taught third graders for 35 years. And
oh, for heaven. God bless her. Oh, my God. She deserves the Congressional Medal of Honor.
But
she really does. That. The first grade I taught was fourth, and I loved fourth grade, but third, you know, grades K through 3 are the hardest.
They are. They are. Half the battle is keeping them in their seats.
It's absolutely true. Boy, and you really have to be on top of it. You have to have just keep all of these activities and projects going and keeping them engaged, you know, and then trying, hopefully, to teach them something, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And this speaks to one of the rewards of teaching, and this is something you can speak to because I understand this still happens to you on occasion. But once a year, I would visit my sister's third grade class because I come from a large family, and my sister was very shrewd. She knew she had a writer in the family, and so I would come up once a year, and I would talk about how I became a writer and how a lot of the things that I do professionally are things that, you know, tie into what they do every day in school. I mean, if you don't deliver your homework, you don't get your grade. If I don't deliver the manuscript, I don't get paid. Those things like that. Well, I would stay after school and chat and whatnot. And one year, again, she taught third grade. Well, about a couple of high school kids dropped by after school, and they were two of her former students.
Yes.
And they talked about how much they miss her and how much they remember a lot of the things that she taught them that they still carry on in their lives and they remember. And you left that kind of impression with your students as well.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I hope I did. And I have proof that at least I contributed something in their young lives at that time. I do get fan letters from my kids.
Yeah.
And they send it to Innovative, my agency here in L.A. And I just got one from one of my 7th and 8th graders. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it because he and his brother Mike, his name is Andy Linda, mm-hmm. and Mike Linda, and they came from the Czech Republic. They were immigrants that came in. And I just got the most unbelievable letter, and about how they went to a reunion, and he said, I remember your drama class and how you'd put, I put my desks in a circle so everybody could look at each other. That was one of the things I thought would be really interesting, as opposed to row on row
yeah.
and at the back people. So he remembered that. I mean, he said, there we were in a circle exchanging thoughts and words and ideas, and then you played James Taylor records with the headlines. His lyrics and poetry
yeah.
class. I mean, he said, to this day, I think of you when I hear or see James Taylor, and I burst out laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get many of these wonderful letters from my kids who are now, oh my God, I hate to even say it, Ed, and I may not, but but he remembered everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And then I had one from Arizona. He's in San Francisco, and apparently I must have, you know, inspired him, because he's into filmography and into documentaries with his brother. And so, you know, he said, and then I read IMDb and said, oh, my God, I had missed so many of your shows that you did on television. He was just so dear. He was very formal in his letter. So I called him. Because there was a letter, there was a number. I thought, okay, what the heck, I'll call him. Well, his wife Angie answered, and she almost fell over.
Wow.
You know, and it's so funny, because I think teachers, educators, good ones, and I'm not saying I was good, I just loved my kids, and I think a good educator, if they love their children, love what they do, they're good at anything, whatever you're doing, as long as you love what you do. They, you know, I was like a rock star had called.
Mm-hmm.
Because... You know, and I'm sure your sister has the same exact experience, because she left an imprint. Talk about a tattoo.
Yes, you know, exactly.
On all those lives, and it's stuck with some of them for years and years and years.
Well,
one student wrote me from Arizona and said, I married a teacher because you inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were such a good teacher. I married a teacher. One of my students became a librarian, went into teaching. Andy went into filmography, you know, because as a result of my little drama class, there was not a drama class in the school. And I said, well, this is crazy. People need, you know, it's not only basketball and football, but you have to have a creative expression, not only physical expression, just to get it out. So I started the drama class in Milwaukee in Fox Point in Wisconsin, in one of those districts. But I found that my teaching career, my kids taught me,
mm-hmm.
Ed. You know, I learned so much from my students, so much from my students, and I carry that with me wherever I go.
Well, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch of the word, but the fact that one student remembered that you put the circles, the desk in a circle like a seminar class, so
right.
that you're all facing each other, that left an impression. And he probably paid more attention and was more alert in your class than he may have been in some of his other classes. And the fact that you inspired others to pursue, you know, creative professions or go into other forms of teaching, that tells me you're a good teacher because you left an imprint.
Well, I would like to believe that. And thank you, Ed, for saying that, because it takes two, you know.
Absolutely.
It really does take two, the students and the teacher. And it's a dance that you do. And you have to love the dance. You know, you have to love what you do. And as I say, in any profession that you go, that you, you know, start out to do, if it's a dream or if it's just, you know, nuts and bolts, like being a plumber,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you have to do the best you can at it, or at least try to do your best, and love what you do.
Well,
love what you do, because there's so many people you meet that are not happy.
Yep.
And in all sorts of professions, and it includes acting, teaching, you know, the trades, whatever, they come to your home and they don't smile. And then, of course, I give them a bottle of red wine. Absolutely ecstatic, because I'm Italian on both sides. So nobody comes in my home and leaves empty-handed.
Absolutely.
You know, because they're doing me a service and fixing the refrigerator or fixing the stove or whatever, although I have a tech guy, Norman, who does everything. I mean, he'll work with electricity, everything else. But when things just are over our heads, we hire someone, but they always leave with a bag of cookies or a bottle of wine or something, because you have to appreciate not only those people that have been educated, but those that went into the trades, because therein lies their own education. I mean, that's tough. I mean, try to do electrical and not get electrocuted.
Yep.
I mean, when you think of it, it's a very brave profession, and a lot of these trades are put down. Everybody has to be a college graduate. Well, you don't. You don't. If you're good at whatever it is you're good at doing, and it helps others, it's a great service, then go in that direction.
Absolutely.
Don't go in a direction that's not going to make you happy, because you're going to make everyone around you miserable.
It takes two people to teach and learn. It takes two people to have a conversation. Right now we're having a conversation with Concetta Tomei, star of China Beach, Providence, Mad Men of the People, Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead, and other movies and TV series. We'll be back with more TV Confidential right after this. If you like TV Confidential, we invite you to listen to Astridology. Astridology, new podcast that brings you knowledge, wisdom, and principles that can help you find the peace and comfort that we all seek and deserve in our lives. Astridology with Astrid Kastenberg, available Spotify, Megaphone, Stitcher, and wherever else you find podcasts.
We are
the Real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the Real Brady Bros.
Hi, this is Caroline Aaron, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
It takes two people to teach and learn. It takes two people to have a conversation. Right now we're having a conversation with Concetta Tomei, star of China Beach, Providence, Mad Men of the People, Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead, and other movies and TV series. Concetta and I are just having fun. We're just having a conversation, and we're seeing where the conversation goes. Although I should point out, in fact, I just realized this today as I was getting ready to talk to you, Concetta, calendar year 2020, yeah, we're in 2023 right now. Calendar year 2023 is the China Beach turns 35 this calendar year. If you could believe
Ed, oh my God, my beloved friends, talk about being a family on China Beach. We were a family, the cast of characters, a huge family.
I would imagine it's very gratifying to have been part of a show that broke ground when it originally aired 35 years ago, 1988, and still holds up today.
Yeah. Oh, it's an honor. An honor. We knew it was an honor. At the time, we were involved in it because we met Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Evans, my love interest on China Beach, was, you know, he served tour and a half in Vietnam. And the stories that he had to tell were beyond description. And John Young, our dearly departed John Sacred Young, who was one of the co-creators, his Bill Royals was the other co-creator, just passed away 2 years ago. And he would use Troy Evans' stories in the episodes. But those writers brought in vets, and the vets would tell their stories. So China Beach was an accurate and positive portrayal of what happened in Vietnam with both nurses, the Vietnam nurses, as well as soldiers. So it was an honor to tell their stories. It was an honor to tell their stories. And it was also a service that we were doing, and I didn't know that until we went to Arizona, and Boatman, Michael Boatman and myself, and Boatman is a very, very good friend. His second daughter, Mackenzie, is my goddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Boatman and I stayed friends all those years. Beckett. And we went to Arizona to speak to the veterans there, and one man came up to me and said, you know, if it wasn't for your show, he said, I would never have come to grips with so much of the pain that I held in a shoebox of pictures in my attic all of my life. When China Beach came on the air, I was hesitant to turn it on and watch it because I didn't want to relive that pain again. And he said, but as result of your show and the sensitivity that you took writing it, acting it, whatever, all of, you know, the entire cast, not just myself, and it was amazing. He said, I could open that shoebox now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go through those pictures, and I can look at those nurses, and I can look at those MP pictures and you know, the doctors and the soldiers and my friends that are no longer here anymore. I can open that shoebox and go back to those memories. It's not that I don't feel pain, he said. I still feel the pain, but I'm able to embrace it. And I just thought, that was a spiritual moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, this kind of touches on what we talked about earlier in our conversation, Concetta, is in that when you're a working actress, you go from the stage, you go to television, whether you're part of a series or whether you're doing
a guest shot
on Star Trek Voyager or whatever. I mean, at the moment, your main concern is hit the marks,
learn your lines.
You know, do whatever you have, draw on whatever you have to do to convey this character and create whatever you have to create with your acting moment. And that is, for people, it's a lot easier. It sounds a lot easier than it actually is. And so I would imagine when you hear from viewers, from Vietnam veterans about
right.
the impact that show has had when they watched it and still has on their lives today, that's the word humbling just comes to mind.
Absolutely. And I'm reminded of André de Shields' Tony speech.
Mm-hmm.
That just blew you away. Did you see that? I wish I had seen Hadestown when I was in New York. The last time I was in New York, 2019, I was narrating Death Row Stories. Susan Sarandon had done the first couple years, and then I did the last two as the voiceover. That was the last time I was in New York, 2019. But I didn't see Hadestown, but I saw the Tony Awards. And he said that he called his cardinal rules of ability and longevity.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I'm reading this because I don't want to misquote Mr.
Sure.
DeShields, who's also went to the University of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
as did myself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said, surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Talk about a graceful moment.
Wow.
I mean, talk about a graceful moment. And I thought, this is a man that has stayed the course. And he's in his 70s, and God love him, God bless him. He's done it all, you know, acting, you know, directing, choreographing, singing, dancing. But when he said that, I just thought, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, surrounding yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. You know, and hopefully have an embrace and a big hug and want to sit down and just have a cup of coffee with you and share their stories. It's really important, if you're going to share your stories, to share not only the positive ones but also the negative ones, because both sides of that coin, Ed, I believe, are lessons that we learn in life. Even when you don't get a role, and there are many that I did not get, many that I've wanted that went to other talents. And that gets you your stripes, mm-hmm. as Lila would say, Major Garone, China Beach. You know, you either get your stripes by that, you know, and those losses help you to grow.
Concetta Tomei is on the line with us. Concetta Tomei, star of China Beach. Take a quick time out. We'll talk some more with Concetta when we come back on TV Confidential. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com. for more information on how they can help you.